Welcome back to the Goggin Cold Hall Studios for hour two of the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll take a look at today's college football landscape with insights into the big games this weekend from the top 25 to the SEC. With interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. The Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show is also brought to you in part by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Inns Bank, the Klein Preston Law Group, Penn Station East Coast Subs, Casa of Nashville, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, and real estate agent Richard Courtney of Frederick and Clark Realty. And now, here's your host, Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome to hour number two of our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Jonathan Najjar, making sure everything runs nice and smooth. We'll be with you until noon. And, of course, we appreciate you joining us each and every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. A little bit later this hour, around 11:37, Ron Higgins, he's a columnist with TigerDetails.com. It's an LSU Rivals website as we preview tonight's matchup as 5th-ranked LSU plays host to 7th-ranked Florida. But right now, going back to the hotline, we love visiting with our next guest each and every week, Doug Segrist. He's a co-host on Birmingham's The Zone. It's a TV show on Sunday nights on ABC 3340, formerly with the Nashville Banner, and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug, hope you've had a great week, and welcome to yet another College Football Saturday.
It's been a great week, and now it's the best day of all, Saturday. I'm ready to get started.
All right. By the way, in this first hour, we have a couple of SEC games getting kicked off. First over in Knoxville as Tennessee plays host to Mississippi State. And then a game that's already kicked off, third-ranked Georgia in Athens taking on South Carolina. First things first, when we look at Tennessee and Mississippi State, what did you see out of the play out of Brian Maurer? For me, as he had the opportunity to take over at quarterback, you know, there are just certain individuals that, you know, you could have equal talent, right? But sometimes a different swagger, a different confidence level, a different energy level, you know, certain players just respond differently to individuals, and I think that that's what we saw last week, especially in that first 25 minutes or so with Tennessee last week against Georgia.
I agree. Gave him life. Listen, he's got a good arm, but more than anything, he's got a little swagger. And, you know, Garantano has been beat up over the last couple of years. And you know, we saw this with Jalen Hurts when he was at Alabama. I mean, a few things go wrong. You get a little more conservative. You're playing not to make mistakes. That affects quarterbacks. And I think that's what had to happen. Now you got a new guy in there. He doesn't know any better. And he's playing with a lot of confidence. And I thought the team responded.
We look at Georgia, our first take on them, and, you know, here they are just trying to take care of business. They're heavy favorites today, looking for their fourth straight win, by the way, over South Carolina. This is a rivalry, too. 72nd meeting between these two, although it's been dominated by Georgia for the most part, 51-18-2. Also, when you look at Georgia at home in Athens against the Gamecocks, 29-8. Since South Carolina joined the SEC, Georgia has won two out of every three. They're 18-9 going into today's action and the last 27 meetings.
Yeah, and those are some good South Carolina teams, particularly during the Steve Spurrier era. But Georgia's just been the more dominant program, and I think they'll dominate today. You know, this is just a tough South Carolina team. They play pretty good defense. Linsky has given them a little edge on offense, but they're limited and they're beat up. I mean, nobody's played a tougher schedule today. You know, I'm not even sure they can keep it close for a half because I think this is a Georgia team that has something to prove. They struggled a little for 2.5 quarters last week, and they really need to kind of prove that they're worthy of the ranking.
We look at something, too, and this was a really intriguing stat for me. When you think of Georgia, you think of a really nice football program over the years, right? They're 5-0. This is for three straight years now, this Bulldogs team has started 5-0. It's the first time in the history of the program that this program can say that.
That's pretty incredible, but if you look at Georgia in terms of history, they probably been the SEC's biggest underachiever. You know, they've got all the access to talent. They're in the most fertile recruiting base in the South. When you take just Atlanta alone, but while they've had success under some great coaches, you know, they've only tasted the ultimate prize, you know, just a couple times. You know, they've had Heisman Trophy winners. They've had All-Americans, but Georgia, to me, has been an underachiever, and I think that's the difference with Kirby Smart. I think now they're one of the top three programs in the country year in, year out. They just happen to be in the same league as the most dominant program of the last 10 years.
Alabama this afternoon, 2:30 start time. It's the SEC game on CBS as they take on 24th-ranked Texas A&M. A lot of Alabama fans very excited about next week. It's a late kickoff, by the way, 8 o'clock kickoff as they play host to Tennessee. But they finally get the opportunity to display all the new bells and whistles as far as a night game in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, they get to trip the LED lights, fantastic, and it's going to be a fun environment. Although that's a little late, particularly if you're driving back to Mobile. But they got to take care of business today. I think the fact that it's Texas A&M, I think the fact it's Kyle Field, I think this will be a team that will be honed in early. You know, A&M has two losses to top 10 teams. They're a pretty good team, but I don't think they've got enough firepower offensively to really stay in the game. Now, they may follow the South Carolina model or the Ole Miss model and just try to keep Alabama off the field. But this Alabama offense is so explosive, you know, it only works for a short while until Alabama gets going.
You know, a few things, if you're looking for reasons to be maybe optimistic about Texas A&M, they've scored in double digits, you know, so 10 or more points in 45 straight games, so they can score a little bit. How about this ironic stat? You know, earlier this year, back in September, they played Clemson when Clemson was number one. They become the fifth team in the history of college football to play a number one team in the AP poll twice in a single season. And believe it or not, Texas A&M was one of the previous four. They actually did this back in 1970 when they played an Ohio State team that was number one at the time, and also when they played Texas number one. But historically, A&M has not fared well against number one teams, 2-14 all time. However, we all know what happened back in 2012.
Yeah, I don't think Johnny Football's walking through the door this time, though. You know, that was a shock, but that had a lot to do with the schedule. And you know, Alabama's coming off an off week. They're fresh. So I don't think it takes effect today. But, you know, listen, inch by inch, Jimbo Fisher has this program moving forward. Certainly they're playing better defense. The offense is, to me, the head-scratcher because, you know, they started the season with a couple pretty good running backs. They've lost the best one. You know, they've got a good quarterback. They're reasonably good in the trenches, but there's just not a lot of firepower there, and I don't know why.
By the way, a quick scoreboard update from Athens. Georgia's on the scoreboard. How about a 50-yard field goal? What a weapon he is, too. Rodrigo Blankenship. Yeah. As the Bulldogs lead South Carolina 3-0, 10:15 remaining in the first quarter. In that one, also Temple on top early over 23rd-ranked Memphis 7-0, 10:51 remaining in the first, and still no score over in Knoxville, 11:06 to go in the first quarter. No score between Mississippi State and Tennessee. How about this? You know, I was throwing this stat out last hour with Ryan Fowler out of Tuscaloosa. The fact that, you know, we look at all the teams that played last week in the regular season. So half the teams lost, right, Doug?
Correct.
How about the fact that in the last 50 regular season games, as far as Alabama, 49-1 in their last 50 regular season contest?
Yeah, if they could just keep Clemson off the schedule at the end of the year, they'd be almost perfect. You know, they've dominated league play, they've dominated non-conference play, they've dominated top 25 play, they've just had a couple of hiccups in the championship game two of the last 4 years. This is just an incredible run, but the thing is, I don't see any sign of slowing down. You know, they keep recruiting, you know, they're playing all kinds of freshmen, particularly on defense, and they just seem to reload, and, you know, offensively, this is probably as good as it gets, not only because of the talent, but the way they react to Steve Sarkisian. It's just he's added elements to this offense they haven't had before. Kind of the matchup of Lane Kiffin, who is just, you know, an X's and O's genius, but then some of the pro concepts with the play action from Brian Daboll, and it's just been just a really explosive offense, maybe the best I've ever seen at Alabama.
You know, this stretch, you know, everybody always wants to compare Nick Saban to Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant had a stretch like that. If you go back to 71 to 74, where his regular season record 43-1, the only loss was the punt Bama punt game at the end of 72 to the Auburn Tigers when Bama lost 17-16 after leading 16-0 there going into the fourth quarter. Other matchups today as far as the SEC is concerned, non-conference affair as Vanderbilt, a 15-point favorite at home taking on UNLV. Vanderbilt looking for their second win of the year. Look, we're still waiting for the offensive talent on that side of the ball to really shine. We have yet to see that. And it's to the point now where back in July, you know, you're talking about could we be looking at 7 or 8 wins by Vanderbilt? Right now we're thinking after the way they played last Saturday against Ole Miss, you know, your thought process is can Vanderbilt even win an SEC game this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's really come to that. I'm disappointed in how they played so far. I think the offense talents, but, you know, I thought the offense would carry them. That's what's frustrating. And you're talking about a UNLV team that gave up 50-plus points to Wyoming, but also held Boise State, I think, to 38. And you know, it was a blowout, but it was closer than anybody expected. So, you know, the opportunities are limited for Vanderbilt, and they've got to take care of the game today, and they really need to kind of push forward and gain some momentum.
I mean, one thing, when you look at Vanderbilt, in the last decade against non-SEC teams, they've taken care of business. They're 32-14, which includes a 2-2 record as far as postseason play. But against teams from when you look at the Mountain West, here's a Vanderbilt squad, 3-3, although this will be the first meeting ever against UNLV, but they're 2-3 against Air Force, 1-0 against Nevada. But this is the first opportunity that they're taking on UNLV today. The other thing that sticks out, too, an interesting stat about Vanderbilt, and this is why even more so important for the offense to shine, Vanderbilt is one of only 4 Power 5 teams that features a 2,000-plus career rusher, in this case Keyshawn Vaughn, and a 2,000-plus yard receiver in Kalijah Lipscomb.
Wow, I didn't realize that. You know, the Mountain West is a very good conference that gets no respect because we don't even get to see them play half the time. You know, their biggest games are late at night. But if my math's right, I think they're 2-1 against the SEC this year. I know Wyoming and San Jose State have wins. So it's not a program, although UNLV's kind of bringing up the rear. It's not a conference you can take lightly.
Well, and here's the thing, too. UNLV, they have, you know, they lost at Northwestern as far as one of their Power 5 conference teams they've taken on. And then just last week, they lost to Boise State in conference play 38-13. But here's a Boise State team that's now flirting with a top 10. They're 14th this week after moving up 2 notches after their victory against UNLV. They're taking on Hawaii today. UNLV is not going to be intimidated. Now, here's the thing. If Vanderbilt plays an entire game like they did against Northern Illinois, when they, as far as the early part, when they jump out to the 14-0 lead, Vanderbilt should be able to cruise today. The problem is they haven't been able to do that. I'm concerned with the defense and not just with the lack of talent that is shown on the field, but more importantly, you know, there's no excuse for the lack of fundamentals.
Yeah, and from a Derek Mason defense, that's really kind of mind-numb. I mean, even when they're outmanned, they're fundamentally sound. This year, they're not tackling, and I don't know what the reason for that is. But this is the game. This is a great opportunity that they really need to show something and kind of push forward.
We look at Missouri because these other 3 games are all under the lights. First, with Missouri, 6 o'clock, hosting Ole Miss. And other than Alabama, 23-2 in the last 25 games, Georgia 20-5, LSU 20-5, Missouri, the fourth best record during the same time span in the last 25 contests, a Missouri team that's 18-7. Now, Kelly Bryant got beat up a little bit last week. You know, same issues when we look at Kyle Trask as Florida. We don't know how effective he's going to be in this matchup with Ole Miss. On the other side of that, when we look at Ole Miss, we're talking about a team that when you talk about everybody, you know, coaches, when they're not doing as well, they always want to talk about the young factor. You know, we're very young, a lot of youth, right? Well, Ole Miss can actually say that and back it up with the stats on the field. 83% of their offense coming from not just freshmen, but true freshmen this year.
And that to me has been a surprise. We thought they would have a pretty good offense because of the change of coordinator. I mean, you know, after slow start, Rich Rod has them going. They look pretty good moving the ball against Alabama with a freshman quarterback. I think the problem going in today is this is Missouri. We think Missouri is just a team that can outscore people because what they did with Drew Locke, and then they pick up Kelly Bryant. But since the Wyoming debacle, I mean, their defense has just been solid. They pitched a shutout. They've held another opponent to 7, another to 10, and then 1-14. They can play defense, and that was kind of late to come under Barry Odom because that was his strength as a defensive line coach. So this is a team that is pretty balanced. And, again, most of the people on this side of the Mississippi aren't really familiar with how good they are and how good they can be. We still look back at the Wyoming game and go, what the heck happened? But this is probably, you know, I know Florida's looking really good, and maybe they'll knock off LSU tonight, but I still think Missouri is the biggest threat to Georgia.
By the way, a couple of score updates for you. Oklahoma has taken the first lead in the Red River rivalry, and no surprise here. Touchdown pass from Jalen Hurts as Oklahoma leads Texas 7-0, 9:54 remaining in the first quarter. Still no score, by the way. Tennessee, Mississippi State. Brian Maurer so far for the day. He has completed all three of his attempts. Unfortunately, one of them was an interception, but it didn't do any harm. They're facing a 2nd-and-8 right now inside the Mississippi State 40, 9:27 to go. Actually, it's under 7 minutes to go now in the first quarter. Still no score over in Knoxville. And then Georgia, as they're taking on South Carolina at home, so far that field goal by Georgia, the only score of this game, as third-ranked Georgia leads South Carolina 3-0, 6:09 to go in the first quarter. Arkansas tonight will be in Lexington to take on Kentucky. Kentucky squad looking to even their record overall this year. They're 2-3, but they're still looking for their first SEC win. If Kentucky is going to get bowl eligible, they're going to need this victory, I'm thinking. Arkansas, by the way, I still don't have a lot of faith that they'll get to that magic number of 6. But Arkansas entering this game, same record overall as Kentucky, 2-3 as far as overall. They're 0-2 in the SEC. But, you know, this is a game for me that Kentucky needs if we're talking about bowl eligibility at the end of the year.
It's a must win. And unfortunately, I kind of smell an Arkansas upset. I was real impressed with how Arkansas played against A&M. Kentucky just doesn't have much going offensively without Wilson. And, you know, their defense isn't up to what we've seen the last few years. And I think the schedule has started to take a toll. And this is a game that Kentucky ought to be able to breathe. I don't think Arkansas is going to give them a chance to breathe.
Hey, by the way, this game, this Arkansas-Kentucky game, same thing I was talking about with Will West out of Knoxville last hour about Tennessee-Mississippi State. Put it this way, these two teams have not seen each other in Lexington. You have to go back before we even were even talking about Nick Saban and Bear Bryant in the same breath. These two teams have not been in Lexington playing each other since 2008.
Wow.
The more and more.
Yeah, and so that's wrong. We, you know, the starting in Destin, they've got to come up with a long term solution because you're not really a conference if you don't play everybody.
By the way, Tim Jordan, a 15-yard touchdown run. Tennessee on the board, leading Mississippi State 6-0. We're waiting the extra point, 4:56 to go in the first quarter. And look, we saw the momentum Tennessee had last week in that first half. Thought they played really well considering their opponent in Georgia. Today, although Mississippi State was a 6.5-point favorite against the Vols, to me, this was a winnable game for Tennessee, and they're doing what they need to do right now. By the way, Tim Jordan, 4 carries so far in the morning, 24 yards, and that touchdown scamper. The extra point was good, so the Vols leading Mississippi State 7-0, 4:56 to go in the first.
Yeah, I think this is a great opportunity for Tennessee. You know, we said last week we wanted to see if they got better, and I think they proved that they were ready to play Georgia. They were just outmanned the second half. But this is a big opportunity for them. And again, what we want to see from Jeremy Pruitt is a team that plays more fundamentally sound, plays with more energy, and I think we saw a glimpse of that a week ago.
By the way, tonight, it's not only the marquee game in the SEC, the marquee game as far as on the national landscape, Tiger Stadium, as we get this nice matchup with 5th-ranked LSU taking on 7th-ranked Florida. By the way, it's the 25th time in team history that Florida is facing top 10 opponents in consecutive games. And the last time, by the way, it occurred was 2011. They've only been able to do the daily double, winning both games twice. They did it in 06. They also did it in 08. Both of those scenarios, they won the SEC title game and then went on to win the national championship as far as the BCS format. I bring it up because just last week at home, they downed the Auburn Tigers 24-13 when Auburn was ranked at the time number 7. And so now we get this back-to-back opportunity for Florida. That's asking a lot, not just from a physical standpoint, it's asking a lot from a mental standpoint as well.
It is, but I think you've got a guy in charge in Dan Mullen who can handle this stuff because he's been around the block. And, you know, don't forget that he was at Florida when Florida was doing that as well, as a coordinator. So, listen, this is just going to be a Donnybrook of a game. My only question is, I'm not sure. I don't buy into the notion yet that Florida has an elite defense. I still think they're limited offensively. I think LSU is just a better team on both sides, particularly up front. Florida may prove me wrong, but I think this is a game that LSU is going to pull away from in the second half. And again, I don't think this is a matter of the schedule so much. It's just LSU is on a different level at this point.
They may not have an elite defense, but it will be the best defense that LSU has seen this year.
No
In
doubt.
Fact, because LSU has not seen a defense this year. And I love the gaudy numbers. I love the fact that you can throw out the fact that no team in SEC in the SEC era, this goes back to the 30s, by the way, the 1930s, no team has scored this many points in their first 5 games. But I go back to the fact that they haven't played a defense. We're going to know what LSU's offense is all about when you look at the next 4 opponents. Florida tonight at home, next week at Mississippi State, Auburn at home on the 26th, the bye week, and then at Alabama on November 9th.
Yeah, we're going to find out quickly. You know, I read a stat the other day that the highest-ranked defense they played is Georgia Southern. So that tells you something. However, I do think they've got the firepower and they've got the rhythm going now. So we'll see. If Florida is elite, they'll hold them under 21 points. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
I still think that giving me 13.5 points, that's what LSU is favored by tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Gators and 13.5. And you look at the previous meetings, I mean, a lot of close affairs between these two teams. And by the way, you go back to the Dan Mullen stat. How about the Florida Gators? From 2010 to 2017, Florida 9-26 versus ranked opponents. 5-11 during versus top 10 opponents, but under Dan Mullen, the Florida Gators 4-1 versus ranked opponents, 3-1 versus top 10. So, and one of those wins was against the top 5 squad as well.
Dan Mullen is criminally underrated as a head coach. He was at Mississippi State. I think he has been so far at Florida. The difference now is he's got talent, but I don't think he's got talent yet to compete with the Alabama, Georgia's and LSU's on a week-by-week basis. They can pull the upset off today, but I still think they're a year or two away, as good as he's got them tracking.
And he has shown us he'll do anything. He'll win at all costs, too, whether as a coordinator or a head coach.
Yeah, 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 he'll do anything.
And we'll leave it at that. And that's not a good thing, by the way. Hey, Doug, what is a good thing is our chance to talk college football with you each and every week. We appreciate you as always. If you're not doing so already, you need to follow Doug on Twitter, at D. Segrist, once again, formerly with the Nashville Banner, co-host on Birmingham's The Zone, the TV show on Sunday nights on ABC 3340. All-around great guy and more. Doug, we appreciate you, buddy, as always, and hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Ballpark. I always enjoy it.
All right, thank you. That's Doug Segrist joining us. Still coming up this hour, Ron Higgins, around 11:37 or so, columnist with TigerDetails.com. It's an LSU Rivals website, as we preview LSU and Florida with him. Coming up on the other side, a scoreboard update, not only SEC Top 25, but other action as well in these early kickoffs in the 11 o'clock hour. This segment brought to you by Richard Courtney. You know, every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line, and it's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. So learn more about his proven marketing plan. You can go to his website at richardcourtney.com or call 615-381-8189. That's 381-8189. Richard Courtney, part of Frederick & Clark Realty at 615-327-4800.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business, as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee, and they do it with the name brands you have come to trust. You will not find a more caring and qualified company than Lanham's AC Service. And remember, financing is available, and they service and repair all brands. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to LanhamsACService.com.
Now back to Johnny Ballpark Franks and the Countdown to Kickoff Show.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. This hour being brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. Don't forget, you know, with the weather hot last week, now it's getting cool, right? So make sure you schedule a service or maintenance call today. Give Brian Eskew and his team a call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or you can go to their website, lanhamsacservice.com. The scoreboard update brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. First, in the SEC, third-ranked Georgia, they got on the scoreboard first, leading South Carolina 3-0. But a Ryan Helinski touchdown pass has now given South Carolina the 7-3 lead, a minute 58 remaining in the first quarter over in Athens, Georgia. And the Red River rivalry, used to be the shootout, but now it's the rivalry. 6:49 to go in the first quarter in Dallas. Oklahoma on top of Texas, 7-0. It's one of 24 It's one of four matchups today where both teams are ranked in the top 25. Entering today, the Sooners ranked number 6. The Texas Longhorns ranked number 11. It's Michigan, 16th in this week's AP top 25 poll. 5:13 to go in the first on the road at Illinois, and it's the Wolverines up 7-0 over Illinois. And 5:06 to go in the first quarter, Memphis ranked 23rd in this week's poll. Already, they've got some making up to do, some ground to make up. Temple at home on top of Memphis, 13-0. Once again, it's still early, though. 5:06 to go in the first quarter. In Big Ten play, you've got Purdue with the early lead over Maryland. It's Purdue leading Maryland 13-0. Jack Plummer, the new quarterback for Purdue, 6-7 so far in the first quarter for 91 yards and a touchdown toss. 5:18 to go in the first stanza there with Purdue leading 13-0. Over in Knoxville, it's Tennessee on top of Mississippi State in the waning moments of the first quarter there. The Vols leading, once again, the Bulldogs, based on a 15-yard touchdown run, by the way, from Tim Jordan. The extra point was good so far. Tim Jordan in the first quarter, 4 carries, 24 yards, and the touchdown run. And the final seconds ticking off as this game is getting ready to go into the second quarter over in Knoxville. Another Big Ten play is Indiana all over Rutgers in the first quarter, 4:53 remaining in the first quarter. Indiana leads Rutgers 21-0. In MAC play today, it's Miami, Ohio on top of Western Michigan 6-0, 7:48 to go in the first quarter there. It's Bowling Green so far upsetting Toledo. This game being played at Bowling Green. Bowling Green leading Toledo 10-0. Bowling Green 1-4 going into this game from the season. Toledo 4-1, yet it's Toledo find themselves down by 10, 5:57 to go in the first. Kickoff getting ready to happen in Durham, North Carolina, in ACC action. It's Duke hosting Georgia Tech. Rest of the games are either this afternoon or tonight. Coming up on the other side, a chance to preview one of the bigger games, not only in the SEC, but obviously the big game, too, as far as the national landscape, as a battle of two teams ranked in the top 10 in the country, as fifth-ranked LSU playing host to seventh-ranked Florida. Ron Higgins will be joining us, columnist with TigerDetails.com. It's a LSU rivals website. He'll be coming up on the other side as our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge. Trust. Results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800. The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com. Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. By the way, we're right there in the middle of football season, which means tailgate parties, viewing parties, you name it. Here's the thing, if you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But drunk, you makes bad decisions, so make a plan before you party. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. A very appropriate time to read that, knowing our next guest is joining us from Baton Rouge, Ron Higgins, columnist with TigerDetails.com. It's an LSU Rivals website. And my guess is, Ron, throughout the day, a lot of Florida fans and certainly LSU fans are going to be really getting themselves all pumped up, ready to go for this kickoff tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, today's like day two. It started yesterday here in Baton Rouge, and really as soon as it hit like midnight after Thursday, LSU fans were ready for this game to roll around. And certainly it'll be building all day. It'll be a lot of thousands of fans who don't have tickets will be out at LSU just for the tailgating, as they are right now. I mean, they're, you know, about 7 hours from kickoff, and I'll be out there in a little while, and I know I anticipate it being the one of the craziest crowds of the year, definitely the biggest for year for LSU so far, and probably rivals a lot of Alabama games here.
When you think about this matchup, and I'm curious to see where you go with this, and as far as the LSU fans, certainly a lot of praise for Joe Burrow and what he's accomplished so far to this point. But is it fair to say that this will be the first true defense that the LSU Tigers will see? Are there a lot of the LSU fans, are they playing the wait-and-see game to see how he performs against Florida, Mississippi State, Auburn, and Alabama? That's the next four games on the schedule.
Well, I think there's no doubt that and Joe Burrow, he said earlier this week, he goes, you know, the season starts now. And he understands that. He understands the toughest defenses are ahead. Yeah, I think LSU fans understand that too. I mean, LSU's offense has been exceptional so far. They're about to play the really good defenses in the league. I mean, Florida leads the league in scoring defense and number nine nationally in scoring defense. And LSU's first nationally in scoring offense. I mean, LSU's averaging 57 a game, basically, and Florida's given up 57 points all year. So, yeah, this is a true test. LSU knows this. They But remember last year's game in Florida when the Burrow was harassed the whole game and LSU lost. Burrow threw a pick six. And so the LSU offensive line is out for better protection, and also LSU is better equipped in the passing game than they were last year, so that they'll feel pretty good about things. They understand what they're facing. I mean, Burrow complimented Florida early this week. And all the LSU players, even though they say they don't like Florida, Florida doesn't like us, which is true, they understand that Florida, they respect Florida's defense definitely because they know how good it is.
LSU, a couple of stats stick out for me entering this game tonight. 10-2 in the last 12 games versus teams from the SEC East. Both of those losses to the Florida Gators. In addition, they're 11-6 all time as far as top 10 matchups at Tiger Stadium since 1958. 2-1 against the Gators in this situation. Just when you get a top 10 matchup, I mean, only thing would be better if you're talking about a top 5 matchup where both teams are ranked in the top 5. It just not that you need anything extra added to the mix, but it just brings some an additional energy level to this contest tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And just the fact that Florida's coming off a big win over Auburn, and this is LSU's first big test, and just the dynamic of one team has such a good offense and the other team has such a good defense. It's one of those who's going to break first or who's going to break the most. That's what would be fascinating. Can LSU pass protect for Joe Burrow? Can Florida cover all of LSU's receivers, not just a couple? And then on the flip side for LSU is the LSU wants to defensively wants to stop whatever run Florida has. They have been great, but LSU really wants to put the Florida's offense in the hands of Kyle Trask. They really do. I mean, and honestly. The way I see it, if Kyle Trask can beat LSU, and Kyle Trask is his first start since he was a freshman on junior varsity in high school, a road game, first start in a road game. If he can beat LSU, then LSU doesn't deserve to be a national championship hunt, honestly. That's the way I kind of see it. I think Vegas put the line at 13.5, which I think is, most time, I'll say Vegas knows what it's talking about because you'll watch a game and they'll have a line up there and it's not even close to the line. Then by the end of the game, it's right on the line. I don't think LSU should be a 13.5-point favorite. 13.5-point favorite. They always play too tight. This is always a good game. It's always a one possession game.
Well, when I see the odds, this is a situation is from a Vegas perspective. They want half the money on one side, half the money on the other. I don't think it has anything to do with Vegas. I think it has everything to do with the way outsiders are looking at LSU, and they're seeing all these points scored, and they say 273 points. It's the most points, by the way, by any SEC team during the SEC era. That goes back to the 1930s, by the way.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with it, that they're not actually breaking down what both of these teams bring to the table. I feel like LSU is going to win the game, but I'm like you. I can see a 7-point victory, maybe even 10 points. But 13.5, that's asking way too much, especially with what Florida is able to do on defense. They do it well as far as being able to get pressure on opposing teams' quarterbacks. They also do an outstanding job of slowing down the running games for there's a reason why they're ranked so high as far as total defense, pass defense, rush defense. I think that LSU will still be able to have success, but not to the point where they've been able to enjoy so far in the first five games.
So I agree. I'm agreeing with you. I think it's about a 10-point game. But, Florida had 10 sacks in their first game of the year. LSU's had 13 sacks on the year. Florida really they bring pressure. They bring pressure and a lot of blitzes. And that'll be the most fascinating thing is if Florida has to blitz to get pressure on Burrow, and Florida's been really good with just rushing four, I think they would prefer not to rush Burrow because he's eaten blitzes alive this year. He's been really good against blitzes, and I think they would prefer to rush four and get pressure on him. I think LSU offensively understands that this game is in the hands of their offensive line. If they do their job, LSU wins. If they don't do their job, it could be a really, really close game.
You know, a couple other things stand out, Ron, as far as looking at Florida. First of all, the job that Dan Mullen has done, you know, it's in the numbers. I mean, we're talking about the first 6-0 start since 2015. In addition, just look at what Florida did from 2010 to 17 before Dan Mullen arrived as head coach. Florida 9-26 versus ranked opponents, 5-11 against top 10 teams. Under Dan Mullen, 4-1 against ranked opponents, 3-1 against top 10, and that one loss was against the top 5 team. And oh, by the way, they have a victory over a top 5 opponent going into this matchup tonight.
I think what Dan Mullen does is better than a lot of coaches is that he understands exactly what his offenses can do and what they can't do. And he doesn't, you know, put them in position to do anything they can't do. And if that means winning ugly and winning close games, well, he doesn't really care. Because he wants whoever his quarterback is, he wants them comfortable with what they're doing. And I think that's kind of been the secret of Dan Mullen his entire career. And you can go back. I mean, with Dan Mullen, you can go back to when he was at Florida's offensive coordinator and they had Chris Leak as quarterback. And Dan, you know, liked to run the spread option, and Urban did, but they knew that wasn't Chris Leak's gig. He couldn't do that. So they didn't run that. They ran some stuff he could run, and they won a national championship that way. Dan was that way at Mississippi State. You know, he didn't really run what he wanted to run until he got Dak Prescott as quarterback. And so Dan's secret has always been, let's do what our quarterback can do, comfortably do, what we can do, and see if we can win games that way. And again, he's not into blowouts or whatever. He just wants to win games. And if you look at Florida the last couple of years, that's kind of Florida's MO. They don't really overwhelm you, you know, offensively. They don't like wow you. You know, they're not going to, you know, just crush you, but they're going to be opportunistic because they got a defense that gets turnovers and they got a defense that wins games. And it's like, okay, let's just take advantage of the turnovers. Let's score some points, but you know, let's just win the game. Like last week, Auburn 24-13, you know, Kentucky 29-21, 24-20 for Miami. More than likely, I mean, there's always, you know, no 10 points. But again, he doesn't care. He wants to make sure his offense and his quarterback can do what they can handle.
For the second straight year, LSU 5-0, ninth time since 2003. I like what Joe Burrow talked about earlier, about the fact that we're looking at this team where the season begins starting tonight. But nine times out of the last 17 years, LSU 5-0. Is it going to be like what happened last year? A loss to Florida led to three losses in 2018. Or are we talking about a year that ends with a national championship, which also happened twice during that time frame we're talking about? In 30 seconds tonight, what do you feel like is going to be the biggest key for LSU?
I think the biggest key for LSU is basically being able to handle Florida's pass rush. I mean, it's LSU's offense. This game is in the hands of LSU's offensive line, like I said. If they can handle everything thrown at them, LSU win the game, because Florida's defense, their secondary is going to have trouble with LSU's receivers, who make adjustments running the routes as they read them, and Burrow reads the routes as they're running them. So even if you think you have answers when LSU lines up for a play, you don't, because LSU is going to change the answer as they're running the route. So pass protection is the key for LSU.
Before we let you go, remind the listeners what can they expect when they go to TigerDetails.com as far as your coverage of LSU and the SEC.
Well, you'll get wall-to-wall coverage, especially on game day like today, where the party's already started. You go to TigerDetails.com, and it's the LSU Rivals website. It's a subscription website, but usually all the game stuff, especially my stuff all week, is outside the paywall. So you can find me there and on Twitter at Ron Higg, R-O-N-H-I-G-G.
Ron, I know you're going to have fun tonight. Enjoy yourself, and we'll talk down the road.
All right, Ballpark. Have a great Saturday.
You too as well. Thank you again. That's Ron Higgins, columnist with TigerDetails.com, joining us, previewing tonight's LSU-Florida affair. I wonder what the over-under number of 16-ounce beers consumed tonight. Just throwing that out there. This segment and this hour being brought to you by Lanham's AC Service. You know, whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fit your unique needs. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee. I should know, I've been a customer for almost a decade. Here's the thing, call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge. Trust. Results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick & Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of Innsbank. For over 17 years, Innsbank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. Innsbank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InnsbankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know Innsbank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service with a system and solution that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business as they provide reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee, and they do it with the name brands you have come to trust. You will not find a more caring and qualified company than Lanham's AC Service. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. Call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065, or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
It's the Countdown to Kickoff Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show with a scoreboard update. Mississippi State is on the scoreboard. A 51-yard field goal from Jace Chrisman. And here's the thing. Got the lucky bounce. Hit the crossbar and bounced over. So the Bulldogs on the scoreboard still trail Tennessee. The Vols up 7-3 thanks to a 15-yard touchdown run in the first quarter by Tim Jordan. 6:44 remaining before halftime. Also in the SEC, it's third-ranked Georgia taking the lead over South Carolina. The Bulldogs trailed 7-3 going into the second quarter, but with 9:52 to go in the right before halftime, 9:52 to go in the second, the Bulldogs leading South Carolina 10-7. DeAndre Swift with a touchdown run so far in the first half, 10 carries for 50 yards. Other scores in the Red River Rivalry contest in Dallas, 10:52 before halftime, it's Oklahoma still leading Texas 7-0. In Big Ten play, 12:19 to go before halftime, it's 16th-ranked Michigan all over Illinois, 21-0 in this affair. It's 23rd-ranked Memphis on the road taking on Temple in American Athletic Conference play. Memphis 5-0 on the season, having all kinds of issues so far in the first half. 12:32 to go before halftime. It's all Temple, 16-0 over Memphis. With 13:57 remaining in the second quarter, it's Purdue. They scored the first 13, but Maryland on the scoreboard with a touchdown. It's the Boilermakers leading Maryland 13-7. As we mentioned, 5:27 to go before halftime over in Knoxville. The Vols leading Mississippi State 7-3. In addition, in Big Ten play, Indiana on top of Rutgers 21-0, 13:03 before halftime. It's Georgia Tech on top of Duke. This is in the first quarter, 5:56 to go in the first stanza. And it's the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech on top of Duke, 7-3. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today. Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. Ryan Fowler down in Tuscaloosa with Tide 100.9 FM. Doug Segrist, he's on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. And Ron Higgins, columnist with TigerDetails.com. Don't forget, later today, Western Kentucky playing host to Army. 5 o'clock as far as the pregame. Kickoff coming up just after 6. As always, we know you have choices each and every Saturday. We appreciate you making our show a daily destination every Saturday, by the way, during the college football season from 10 a.m. to noon with our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show. For Jonathan Najjar, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have an incredible Saturday, everybody, and make it count.